This is Phil Farron, and I am driving to my parents-in-law house today. This is probably going to be a little shorter than normal. I'm trying to decide how my air conditioning is actually working at this point, because I have this knob that says where the air is supposed to go, but somewhere over time it decided it didn't want to turn all the way. It's so it doesn't really say where the air goes, where it is. And then the other day I turned it really hard to the left or to the right and it went clack clack clack, and I thought, oh hey, maybe that's that kind of does fix it. Well, now it's coming out of the vents. This is a good thing. Maybe we'll get a little air conditioning coming through the vents. A little warmer today than it has been. It has been gorgeous. It's still very nice. No complaints. Still very nice. But I just got in the car. The car's a little warm. So anyways, this is going to be shorter today because I'm going to my parents-in-law for dinner, because my brother-in-law is up with his wife and their new grandbaby. And so we're going to see them tomorrow and today. And then I think they're going to go down to Silver Dollar City tomorrow and have a good time by all. And I'm going to run around and get my mom and dad to the grocery store. And then my dad broke a tooth, so I got to get him to an oral surgeon, see what's going on there. And just all a part of life. All goes well with my major client. We're, you know, exploring down in, finding solutions, yada, yada, yada. That all seems, nobody's unhappy, which is good. It's good that nobody's unhappy. The writing is going well. I got all the corrections in. Yay! I have the print version up. I have the Kindle version up. I still have the EPUB version to do. My goal is to get that done tomorrow. I've got a start on it. I don't have it quite finished yet. And then it's just getting back to Windfall Broadcast and making that happen. So if I am on schedule, I am supposed to take 6 months to get one of these books written and get the cover done and get it laid out and get it ready for beta. So I actually started writing this in July. I had July and August to write. Then I've been off for September fixing up the first book. So that's 2 months. So I have 4 more months to go, which would be October, November, December, January. Should be in beta February 1st. That would be the plan. That would be the plan. So we'll see. We'll see. I think we can make that. I've actually, since I've had 8 or 9 weeks, and I need about 20 weeks to do 100,000 words, which theoretically this book is 100,000 words, I should have that additional 6 weeks. Should be plenty of time to read through, edit it, get the cover put together, you know, do all that stuff. So I think we're on track. And you know, I'm happy with the way the book turned out. Windfall 99 and 1, people seem to enjoy it. Most people honestly. Some felt it was too much this way or too much that way, but that's okay. I'm somewhere in the middle, which is kind of where you have to be. And I think I know now for Windfall Broadcast where it's going to land. I think I have the major pieces for that. It's not anywhere near what I thought it was going to be, but that's okay, because stories take on a life of their own, and characters sometimes pull stories in ways you don't expect. So, since we're on shortened time, enough of that. I have something to talk about today. And surprisingly enough, this ties into last week's. I did not intend it to, at least I don't think I did, and yet it does. Last week I had talked about Sam Harris and his podcast, Why I Don't Criticize Israel. What I did not emphasize last week is that Sam Harris is a leading atheist. In this article, he is described as one of the country's most prominent and articulate atheists, which would have been an interesting observation to make, and I didn't make that last week. This week is actually talking about Sam Harris's new book, Waking Up. And the title of the article, I didn't write it down, was something like Between Godliness and Godlessness. Godliness and Godlessness, I think is what it was. Which immediately caught my eye. And as I was scanning through the article several weeks ago, I thought, oh yeah, this is probably podcast material. So I bookmarked it and then came back to it last night. Was reading through it last night, and sure enough, it is. And my reaction when I was reading this article was, and that's what I'm saying! Which is interesting. The author of the article, Frank Bruni, B-R-U-N-I, that is my wife, but I'm just going to put her on hold since I'm doing a podcast, and I will get back to her in a moment, since we have such a shortened amount of time. Anyways, so there's an interesting section of Sam Harris's new book called Waking Up, where apparently he has a scene in there where he describes a walk that he took in Jesus's footsteps and the way he was touched by it. Now remember, this is a prominent and articulate atheist. So he says, this happened on an afternoon on the northwestern shore of the Sea of Galilee, atop the mount where Jesus is believed to have preached his most famous sermon, Harris writes. As I gazed over the surrounding hills, a feeling of peace came over me. It soon grew to a blissful stillness that silenced my thoughts. In an instant, the sense of being a separate self, or an I or a me, vanished. Now, so the writer of the article says, what? You know, has Sam Harris found God? Is this a stop the press's admission? And he said, well, hardly. He said Harris is actually up to something more complicated and interesting than that. He's asking a chicken or egg problem too seldom broached publicly in America. And this was kind of the place where I started getting interested in this article. The question is this, which comes first, the faith or the feeling of transcendence? And one viewpoint might be that religion is simply piggybacking on a pre-existing condition of spirituality. That there exists a state of consciousness that is deep and intense and profound. And in order to explain that, then people graft onto it a narrative. But the true state of consciousness has nothing to do with a covenant or a creed. Which is an interesting thing. Just a second. My wife has texted me. I think we're ready to eat. Okay, let me just tell her I'll be there in 5 minutes. Five minutes, which I'm not actually late. Because they said 5:30 and it's 5:22. But that's okay, they got their head. So this will be even shorter than I thought. So anyways, that's the upshot of this article. That this sense of transcendence, Sam Harris says, I've had this at other times and in other places that didn't have anything to do with standing where Jesus was. And they can be caused by lots of different things, you know, like clenching my teeth or sitting at my desk writing or prayer or meditation or exercise or communion with music, blah, 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 blah. And the thing about it is there are, according to this article, a growing number of Americans who are willing to say that they do not find the help they crave or a truth that makes sense to them in organized religion. The kids are here too. Yay. And it's nearly 20% of Americans. So there's obviously something going along in here. And he said, these nomads, they're looking for something, which frankly should easily be provided in a relationship with Jesus Christ, i.e. emotional grounding, psychic grace, things that should easily be found, but they aren't. And so the subtitle of Sam Harris's book is A Guide to Spirituality Without Religion. And what's interesting is he wrote a 2004 bestseller called The End of Faith, where he sort of really took on religion. And according to this author, he was strenuously edgy and perhaps gratuitously insulting, that he played up all the cruelty done in the name of religion, but he also kind of gave short shrift to the goodness. And he's kind of moved beyond that now to examine the reasons that people are drawn to religion and trying to argue that much of what they seek from it they can get without it. He said, he noted that there's the church of Burning Man, there is the repetition of mantras, there is a catharsis and clarity of unsullied concentration. He says, you can have spiritual experiences and understand the most thrilling changes in human consciousness in a context that's secular and universal and not frighted with dogma. And I read that sentence and went, oh, hey, because I've been talking about this business of a dogma that is saturated with fear when that's not really what Jesus gave us. He gave us a doctrine of love. But we use fear to keep people in our club. And I fear that tactic is running its course. And the guy from the article, he's saying that really what he would like to see is an unfettered discussion with ample room for doubt and a respect for science commensurate with the fealty to any supposed divine word. We hear the highest-ranking politicians mention God at every turn with little or no fear of negative repercussions. When's the last time you heard one of them wrestle publicly with agnosticism? Okay, what I took away from all of this, and I got to wrap this up. The conclusion of the article says, Harris says, there's truly no secular or rational alternative for talking about questions of meaning and existence and hopes and fears. The writer of the article says there should be, there's a hunger for it, suggested by the fact that after Harris recently published the first chapter of Waking Up Online as a way of announcing the entire volume's imminent release, readers placed enough pre-orders for the book that it shot up briefly to number 22 on Amazon's list of bestsellers. Some of those buyers, as well as many other Americans, are looking for a different kind of scripture, for prophets purged of doctrine, for guides across the vast landscape between faithlessness and bias, for a recognition of this fecund territory. In a country with freedom of worship, they deserve it. Okay, so what's going on here? I think what's going on here, and then I gotta go, is that people recognize that there is a voice within them that is speaking. There is a voice within them that is wooing them. They recognize this sense of spirituality, and that what they find too often in the church is not something that encourages communication with that voice, but what they find is rules and regulations that supposedly will help you get closer to that voice, when in fact, many times, they do not. And that's where I think we're going to have to change our approach and stop being so rule-based and club-based and live our lives before God and in relationship with others and help people recognize more and more that there is a voice within them that is calling to them, that voice loves them and has wonderful aspects that it can bring to their lives. Actually, that he can bring to their lives. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it to my mother-in-law's house because it's time to get something to eat. See you, bye.